This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, tasliman kathiran kathira fama ba'du. My brothers and sisters, in our class on raising a Muslim child, I mentioned this right in the beginning, and I mentioned it again, and I will mention it again, and that is that there has to be and there must be a distinctive difference between how a Muslim child is raised and how any other child is raised. And that is because Muslims have been sent into this world for a specific purpose. And that purpose is to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the rest of the world. All of humankind was created for the same purpose. And that purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of worship. Now, if we understand this, that all of humankind, every single human being ever created, every single jinn who was ever created, was created only for this purpose. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this. This is not my understanding. This is what Allah has said. Allah has said in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the insan and the human beings for anything other than my worship. So the purpose of creation of every jinn and every human being is only and only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, out of those jinn and human beings, the Muslims are those who have accepted this, who have taken this, who have accepted this, to say that we will worship only Allah and nobody else. And these are the Muslims. And therefore, the way a Muslim child is raised must be different from the way the child of someone who has not accepted this is raised. And therefore, the Muslim child must be raised with an awareness and understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, of who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, and of what our purpose in this life is. And our purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and to take this message to every other person on the face of the earth. That is our message. That is our purpose. And therefore, they cannot learn, we cannot teach them unless we are connected. We cannot teach them to worship Allah if we are not worshipping Allah. We cannot teach them to introduce Allah to others when we don't know who Allah is. We cannot introduce someone we don't know. The basic requirement to be able to introduce somebody is that you should know that individual. Even if it is very transitory or very surface, on the surface. It happens sometimes when you go, when I speak at international functions and so on, international conferences, the master of ceremonies may not be somebody who knows me very well. But what they do is they go to the internet, they take my CV from there, or they find out something and they collect some information, and then they introduce me. And when they're introducing me, you might be deceived into believing that this person is my closest and greatest friend because they know all of this stuff. But all that they learned 10 minutes before that introduction. But alhamdulillah, the point being that you cannot introduce somebody you don't know. So how can I introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And knowing about are two different things. I may know about Joe Biden, for example, the President of the United States. I may know about Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India. But I don't know either of them. Right? I know about them, but I don't know either of them. So knowing somebody means that you know that individual at a personal level. And I mean, to put it very simply, will they answer your call? Will they take your call? If I call that person, will they pick up my phone? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any examples and so forth. So I'm not giving that as an example of Allah. My point is, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to everyone's dua, but naturally Allah listens to the du'as of those who love Him and those who know Him and those who obey Him more than He listens to the du'as of those who don't. So the tarbiyah of children begins with our own tarbiyah. There's no tarbiyah of children which can be done by parents who do not have tarbiyah themselves. This is one of the great fallacies and one of the great tragedies in the way Muslim children are brought up. which is that we hand over the tarbiyah, the training, the molding of character of our children to strangers. I've got nothing against strangers, but I'm saying you as parents have a special responsibility, and nobody can take your place. Nobody. Nobody can take your place. Children have many friends. Children have many teachers. They will have many teachers. But they have only two parents, the mother and the father. Nobody can take their place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give the special position to the mother and the father just because biologically they were the agents through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that child. No. That position is given because of the training and the tarbiyah that the mother and the father give and are supposed to give to their children. So handing over that to a school, to a madrasa, to a maktab, to a teacher is to shirk your own responsibilities. No matter what great reason you have for handing over. I'm not saying the people who are not directly involved with training and teaching their own children are necessarily doing something haram. No. They may be doing something very, very, very good and valuable. But if you are a parent, your number one responsibility for which you will be held accountable is the welfare and the teaching and the training and the tarbiyah of your child. So it doesn't matter what you are doing, the tarbiyah of your children comes first. Many people, for example, criticize brothers and sisters who go in Jamaat. And they say, you go off in Jamaat, 4 months, 1 year, whatnot, and there's no one to take care of you, no one to do tarbiyah of your children. And if the person says, no, but you see, I went in Jamaat, my wife was there, and the children were going to an Islamic school. No. You personally, Mr. Warmbody and Mrs. Warmbody, mother and father, you are responsible for the training and tarbiyah of your children personally. So do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've said this a million times and I'll say it a million times more. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not run schools. He did not run maktabs. He did not run Sunday schools. He did not run madrasas. He did not run Islamic schools. He taught the adults. The children who used to be around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, was his cousin. And most of the time he lived in his house. Ali bin Abi Talib was his cousin, radiallahu anhu, and he lived in his house. Zaid bin Haritha was given to him as a slave. He freed him and he made him, he called him his own son, and he lived in his house. Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu majma'in, was handed over to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came to Medina by the mother of Anas bin Malik. And he was the servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These children were there. They were not his students, as in enrolling in a class. They happened to be around him. And of course they learned, and their contribution is enormous. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that the people Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly addressed and spoke to were the parents of children. And those parents taught those children. Why did he do that? He did that because it is the primary responsibility of parents to teach children, number one. Number two, when the parent teaches the child, especially Islamic knowledge, especially teaching a child to read the Quran, especially teaching a child Islamic knowledge, it builds a special bond between the mother and the child, the father and the child, which cannot be built in any other way. If your child is learning Quran from an outside teacher, nothing wrong with the teacher. The teacher may be the greatest sheikh in the world, but it's not the child's father, it's not the child's mother. The child may learn to read the Quran perfectly, absolutely beautiful, fantastic tajweed, that qiraat and whatnot. It is not the same as learning it from you. And if you as the father or the mother do not know how to read Quran properly, learn. Learn. Who told you that it's okay for you not to be able to read the Quran properly? Learn. It doesn't matter what age. I am taking lessons at my age. I am 66 years old. I am taking lessons in the qiraat of the Quran, in the recitation of the Quran, from our dear brother and Hafiz Sheikh Abdullah Al Khalti from Morocco, who comes here for Tarawih to this place. I take 3 classes per week from him every week. Why do I need to do that? Because this is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to learn and to teach. And the primary responsibility to teach children is on the parents. And as I told you, I don't care what you do. Just justify it to yourself if you want. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to ask you, not me. You cannot hand over, you cannot outsource the tarbiyah of children to others. The others, whether they are teachers, whether they are relatives, whoever, schools, whatnot, these can be your aides who will also help you. But primary responsibility is yours and will remain with you no matter how many Islamic schools or how many shuyukh your child goes to. Primary responsibility is yours. See how they go read some history for yourself. See how the mother of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, what she used to do with him. What did she say to him? Tarbiyah begins at home. There is no other place. So please understand this. You as a parent must know Allah, because unless you know Allah, you cannot introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to your children. Your children must know Allah, because their job and your job is to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the rest of the world. I wish you all the very best and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. And those of you who have got into this thing of outsourcing training and teaching of children, please make istighfar and tawbah. And do your job. Be responsible, act responsibly. Muslim children must learn that Islam is not simply a set of rules and rituals of worship, but that it's a complete way of life where duties to people are mentioned along with the duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huququllah and huququl ibad are equally important. It's not one at the expense of the other. They must be taught how worship adds value in this life. To obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds value in this life itself. They must understand that worship gives them a competitive advantage to win in this life. Take for example somebody who's got a very important presentation coming up, very important meeting coming up, literally make or break situation. Maybe you are presenting to a group of venture capitalists for your project for which you need finance. Alhamdulillah, venture capital is a halal way of financing, so you are going to be doing this. What does that day, the beginning of that day, when you have to make this presentation, what does it look like? If it looks like this, that you work late at night to get the presentation ready, and then you go to sleep and you set the alarm, and in that process you miss even your Salatul Fajr, for example, but you've got to go to this presentation, so you set the alarm in time for you to go to the presentation, you make the presentation. That's one picture. Another picture is that you, alhamdulillah, you work very hard, but you wake up for tahajjud and you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, Ya Rab, I have done my best with your help, with your tawfiq. Now please take care of me. And if this thing, if there is good in it, then please enable me to get it. You pray tahajjud. You make dua. Right? You do the dua of istikhara. It is also the dua of asking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you go to the masjid. And you pray Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah. And you make dua again. And then you pray Ishraq. You pray Salatul Dua. And in that you pray 2 rakat of Salah, Salatul Hajah. And you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and then you go to your presentation. This is another picture. I'm not asking you which is a better picture from a from just an intellectual angle. You say, oh yeah, of course, obviously you're starting a day with worshipping Allah. No. Do you see the effect of that in your presentation? SubhanAllah, I'll tell you, do it this way and you will find yourself saying things that you did not even know, which will convert the hearts of the people. Those things will be put into your mind and your heart and your and on your tongue at that time by the one who knows what's in the hearts of people and what will convince them. Islam is the most practical way of living life. Islam is the best and most powerful tool that you can imagine. But it must be seen like that and it must be used like that. There's no good having a magnificent tool, most beautifully designed, when you don't know how to use it. Or you use it in a way which is where the tool is not being used properly, so it doesn't function. Teach your children. Again, I have to keep repeating this, but there's no alternative to that. The only way we teach our children is by doing it ourselves. Because they listen with their eyes, not with their ears. They listen with their eyes and they don't care what you say until they see what you do. So they must be taught how worship adds value in this life and how it gives a competitive advantage to win in this life. They must be taught how connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu gives them an insider advantage, enabling them to infuse barakah into all that they say and do, so that they get maximum result with minimum effort. That is the essence of leverage. Maximum result with minimum effort. Right? You put the lever and you exert a little bit of pressure and a huge load lifts. It is our inability to interpret Islam and show how it makes sense today that gets our children disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are disconnected because we are disconnected. After all, you can only give what you have. To ask, what do I have? And then make the effort to upgrade yourself. A candle does not light up a room by doing anything to the room. It lights up the room by igniting itself. So learn to take from Allah and give to your children. If you cannot even give to your children, how are you going to give to the world? The way to do that is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make no mistake. Make absolutely no mistake. If you don't follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will get nothing. You will get nothing. Try it for yourself or regret it when you die. It's your call. All these things will make the child a walking, talking example of the way of Islam and will differentiate him or her from the rest and make him or her a benchmark and a role model for others. See what is going on in India now. The little girls who are fighting to wear the hijab. What do you see? You see a picture of a girl who is being oppressed. I see a picture of amazing courage. I see a picture of a girl who refuses to get oppressed, who's standing up for herself, who is asserting her identity as a Muslimah, and who will be a witness for or against others like her. So all these so-called fashionable ladies who don't want to wear the hijab, Muslim women, remember, it is your action which is making her position difficult. Because the world is looking at you and saying, why does she wear a hijab when this other one is not wearing a hijab? Your inability to or your unwillingness to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wear a hijab. The unwillingness of Muslim men to keep a beard as a sign of the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, and they shave and they feel no shame in shaving. You are making the life of those who want to follow the Sunnah more difficult. And remember, there will be a price to pay. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you. Those people whose life you made difficult, they wanted to, they will still obey. Believe me, no matter how difficult their life is, they will still obey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you will have to say what you did. Fear that day. Fear that day. Imagine what kind of Islamic character and what kind of love of Allah and love for Rasulullah ﷺ can be inculcated in the children of parents, where the father is shaved. I do not use the term clean shaved because nothing clean about shaving. To remove the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ is not clean. It's dirty. So for a father who is shaved and a mother who does not wear hijab, what kind of effect of that will be on those children? My brothers and sisters, please understand. You have no choice in this matter. The day you had a child, whether you decided to have the child or whether that child happened accidentally, I don't care. The day your child was born, automatically you got upgraded into the role of role models. You have no choice in this matter. You can be a good role model or you can be a bad role model. The child can look at you and say, I want to be like my father, like my mother. Or the child will look at you and say, well, this is how I should not be. So my father is an example of what I should avoid. My mother is an example of what I should avoid. Because if the father is lying and cheating and deceiving people, and if the father is a member of clubs in which haram activities are happening, if a father is going to a race course and gambling or going to a casino and gambling, smoking cigarettes, the sign of people of Jahannam is smoke comes out of their mouths. Why do you want to have that sign with you when you are living in this world? May Allah save you from Jahannam. The child of a mother who does not wear hijab, children of parents who are not particular about their prayers and salah. They pray when they have time or when they are free, or maybe they don't pray at all. And so on and so on. I mean, I don't want to list the litany of stuff that we do. What kind of children do you think you are raising? And if you raise good children, believe me, those children will be raised. Musa alayhi salam was raised in the house of Firaun. But when that child looks at you, is that child going to respect you? Is a child connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to respect somebody who deliberately disobeys Allah? If a child connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to respect, do you think a child who is connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to respect parents who deliberately disobey and go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is the reality. The reality is, let us straighten ourselves. Let us bring obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts, into our lives, into our actions, into our speech. And it doesn't matter whether anybody likes it or not, believe me. It does not matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking at any popularity scores. Allah does not look at Facebook to see whether you are loved or not loved. Allah looks at your heart and my heart. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Express the love of Allah through obedience. That is how it is expressed. Love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Express the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through emulation, through ittiba, by following his sunnah. And then see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change your life and the lives of your children. That is the choice we have. What kind of role model do I want to be? My brothers and sisters, the essence of Islam And the example that Rasulullah left for us is this. And that is what the Sahaba did. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they were taught by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when someone asked them about Islam, they used to say, Kunu mislana, become like us. Because they were Islam personified. If we did not have Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in front of us, and I said, well, I want to look at somebody's salah to see what is the best way in which to do salah, whose salah would I look at? At the salah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Right? Same thing. I mean, you could look at the Salah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. You could look at the Sahaba were Islam personified, walking, talking Islam. And that is the first duty of the Muslim parent, to mold the child in the Islamic way by demonstrating. Because there is no other way. As I keep saying all the time, and reminding myself and you, that you can talk till the cows come home, nothing is going to change. Nothing will change until we change ourselves. Demonstrating. And that's what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. My brothers and sisters, it is a hands-on activity. It's a contact sport. It's not an armchair travelogue that you are writing. Producing children is natural. Parenting is not. Parenting, like driving, has to be learned. But unlike driving, unfortunately, you don't need a license to do it. More the pity, for we see the results of unlicensed parenting all around the world, and we suffer from it. But that doesn't mean that you should also do it. So please learn to become good parents. Because parenting is not about children. Parenting is about parents. We are not saying childrening, we are saying parenting. Parenting is about parents. Children are the beneficiaries or the victims of parenting, good or bad. And as I said, your call once again. Your call once again. Whether to become good parents or to be bad parents is up to us. And remember, nobody says, I want to be a bad parent. Right? I mean, obviously, this is not, it's a given that nobody says that I want to be a bad parent. But as I said, we see the effect of bad parenting all around us. My brothers and sisters, I say to you, and I remind myself, the only Islam you need to save is the one in your heart. Allah Ta'ala does not need Islam. Islam is not a religion. Islam is the name of a practice. It's a way of life which is sent down to make human species better versions of themselves. Right? So don't worry about the Islam in the world. Worry about the Islam within. Within my heart, within my life, on my tongue, on my actions, in my home, in my business. If I do that and I upgrade my own self, then the world automatically gets better. Because Islam is not a face. It's the positive conduct. More positive conduct, more positivity in the world. Because Islam was sent to make humans better. Let us understand this and let us bring this into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Islam as something to practice, not something to write a PhD thesis about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Islam something for us to practice, as something to practice, so that we become better, so that we become more and more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that our speech and our akhlaq and our living and our walking and our talking and our dying all become nuranic. They all become illuminated with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obedience. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply did not send a theory. He didn't send just a book. He sent his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to demonstrate that. That's why we have the beautiful hadith of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, where she said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the walking Quran. Somebody went to her and said, please tell us about the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, don't you read the Quran? He said, yes. He said, he was the walking Quran. That is our aspirational goal. I don't say that I will become like that ever, or you will become like that. Allah, may Allah give you, help you and strengthen you and make you like that. But that is our aspirational goal. That is what we are aiming for. So let's try that. Let us raise children in the love of Allah and the love of Rasulullah ﷺ, obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah ﷺ, and then see how they shine in this world and how they will become tremendously powerful, positive, beautiful leaders. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you and be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ar-rahman ar-rahimin. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.